Well, I think you've got to meditate on Scripture first and really come to terms with this. And I would say go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, and read about what I'm calling the treasure principle and the command of Jesus to store up treasures in heaven. And then read about the grace of God and how that relates to giving in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and meditate on that, because you read that great passage of Scripture on giving, and you see that about 10 times it refers to God's grace. God's grace is His giving to us. So our giving is a response to God's giving. So His giving is, I say in the treasure principle, His giving is the lightning. His grace to us is the lightning. And then our giving to Him and to others is the thunder. Well, lightning comes first, and lightning creates the thunder that follows. And, you know, we love God because He first loved us. Well, we give to God and give to others because God first gave to us. So if you contemplate what Scripture actually says, and you meditate upon His redemptive work for us and His call to follow Him wholeheartedly, and we see that God owns it all and everything belongs to Him. We don't even own ourselves. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You don't even own your own body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit who indwells you. When that gets real to us, then it becomes liberating, because we say, okay, Lord, You're in charge. Money is not my God. You are my God. Things are not my God. You are my God. And I'm going to follow You. And I'm going to do what You want me to do. And then that's the adventure. So I think if we see it not as a dutiful drudgery, now I've got to start giving away money, but instead is the joy of reciprocating God's giving to us and entering into this partnership with God, in which He is the owner, but He has appointed us to be the distributors. And I use the analogy and the treasure principle of, you know, if you have a delivery service that comes to your door, and they drop something off for you, and then you give them something that you want to be sent to somebody else in another part of the country or another part of the world. What would you do if you found out that the delivery person had been taking away all the packages that you gave them, and they were just taking it home and keeping them for themselves? Well, you'd say, wait a minute, that's not yours to keep. And what if they said to you, well, if you didn't want me to keep it, you shouldn't have given it to me in the first place. You say, no, you're the delivery person. It's your job, you know, to put it where it's supposed to go. And this is where I think we need to say to ourselves, God, we are Your delivery people. So when You hand something over to us, we should not assume that You intend for us to keep it. You know, keep enough, of course, to live on and to care for your needs and some of your wants as well. But then this excess that You have given us, and we need to say, okay, Lord, what do You want me to do with what belongs to You? Why did You entrust this to my care? It says in 2 Corinthians 9, you will be made rich in every way. And then it says, so that you may be generous on every occasion. So God does entrust us with wealth, but is it simply to increase our standard of living, or is it to increase our standard of giving? And I think if we meditate on these realities, then that's where, and then of course take an initial action. I mean, you have to actually give and give more. And then giving becomes an addictive thing in a good way. There are some addictive things like brushing your teeth, exercising, you know, going to bed at the right time or whatever. That, I mean, those things are actually, you get used to them and accustomed to them and maybe even addicted to them, but they're healthy. And we think of, you know, bad addictions, but there are good ones too. Well, giving is one of those really good addictions that the more you do it, the more you enjoy doing it. And Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver.